Welcome, everybody. Today we are going to continue learning our Chumash in depths, and we are in the middle of discussing the blessings that Yaakov stole from Esav and the brachas that Yitzchak gave.
The story of Yitzchak and Yaakov stealing the brachas from Yitzchak. I want to talk about a few fascinating things tonight. I want to talk about what we say in benching every day. We say Hashem should bless us like our forefathers. Bakol mikol koil, with three expressions of everything. We say bakol, with everything, mikol, from everything, and kol, everything. What is the significance of that prayer that we ask for, that we should be blessed with everything? I also like to discuss today a fascinating halacha about not eating after the afikomen, and a little bit of the origin or understanding of that halacha. Let's go jump into this fascinating story over here. We are holding Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Perek Chaf Zayin, Bereishis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, and here we're talking about where Yitzchak, where Esav comes in after Yaakov steals the brachas, and he comes to his father and he says, I brought my food, please eat from it. And that's where Yitzchak realizes that what happened, and that Yaakov came already and stole the brachas. Let's read the pasuk inside. Yitzchak, his father, said, "Miata, who are you?" And Esav responded, "Ani bincha becharcha Esav, I am your son, Esav the Bechar." Yitzchak gave a tremendous cry. And he said, "Mi eifa hu atzad sayid? Who is the one who captured a capturing?" Vayaveli, and he brought it to me. Vayoichel mikol, and I ate from everything. B'terem tavai, before you came. Vavarcheyu, and I blessed him. Gam barachia, he should also be blessed. So Yitzchak says, who is this person that came? And he gave a tremendous cry, he screamed out, and he said, who is this person who came and gave me to eat, and I ate from everything before you came? Gam barachia, he should also be blessed. So our rabbis tell us that all of our forefathers were blessed with prosperity, as we find the Torah uses the word call everything by each one of them. And what's fascinating is with the famous passage by Avram, it says, Hashem Baruch Hashem Avram HaKol. When Avram got old, Hashem blessed him with everything. And Rashi says, brings out many, there's many different interpretations. But Rashi says, Bakol means he had a daughter. Other interpretations as well. But there, Bakol seems Hashem blessed him with everything. The Torah is telling us, you know, Avram was blessed with everything. So that is understandable, that pasuk that the Torah brings to tell us that Avram was blessed. But the pasuk by Yitzchak, the Medrash actually says that in the merit that Avram gave tzedakah and ma'aser to Malchei Tzedek, as it says, he gave him ma'aser mikol, from everything. All our forefathers were blessed with this blessing of kol, of everything. And it brings a pasuk by each one. So we have him, it says, Hashem brachas on mikol, Hashem best by Avram with everything. That's referring to that he had a son, or different interpretations, but that's a plastic of blessing. But then it says here like this, it says, when Yitzchak said, I already ate from everything before you came, and I blessed him. Here it just sounds like he just ate from whatever food Yaakov brought. So what does it mean, mikol, from everything? Like, that doesn't sound like, I already ate everything. You know, it doesn't sound like a very significant pasuk that tells us Yitzchak was blessed with prosperity because he ate from kol, from everything. What's so significant about what Yaakov brought that this shows the blessings of our forefathers, this food? Rashi says, V'achol mikol, I ate from everything. Every taste I wanted to taste, I was able to taste in it. The Medrash says that, let me read the Medrash for you inside. The Medrash is the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, Rabbi Huda says, Mikol means he ate from everything that was created from the time of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So I guess it means all food from the history of the world. It means all food that's going to be in the future. That means all the food we're going to have in the times of Mashiach and the Levyasan, the special, I didn't say Levyasan, but I assume it means Asalava, that's referring to the special delights we're going to have in the future. So basically all the blessings that food had in the past, I think it means Gan Eden, Shesh Bereshis should be even Gan Eden, and everything that's going to be in the future when Mashiach comes. Continues the Medrash, I'm like, Ikar Shal Davar Ma'a Chiltcha. What they asked him, what did he feed you? So it sounds like maybe Esau asked him, what did he feed you? Esau said to Yaakov, what food did he feed you? And he answered back to him, any idea? I don't know what it was, but Ella time I see Tom by Pam, Tom Butzer. If I wanted to, I would taste the taste of Basar. I tasted the taste of Basar, and I tasted the taste of Dagim, of fish. I also tasted the taste of Chagavim, of locusts. Tam kol madon shalem, I tasted all the delicacies of the world. Okay. So it seems like this was like almost like the man. It tasted all different things. Maybe he thought of it and tasted that way, but apparently Yitzhak said, this food that he gave me had the taste of all food in the world, all food of the past, and all food of the future. So now we see this call over here is not just he saying, I ate from everything that was given to me. He's saying something very significant. This food that was given to me was very significant. It had the taste of all food in the history of the world, and it had taste of all food in the future of the world. Tol Mashiach. Okay, and it tasted like any food he wanted to, or maybe kept on switching tastes, but it tasted like all the foods in the world. Okay, we'll get back to this a little bit in a minute, what the significance maybe of this medrash is. Let's go a little further. When Esav heard the words of his father, he gave a tremendous cry. He said to his father, please bless me as well, my father. So he asked his father, give me a blessing as well. Yaakov Yitzchak responded and said, Ba'achicha, your brother came b'mirma with trickery, and he took your brachas. Okay? Let's continue one more pasuk. So Yitzchak said, your brother already came with trickery and he took your brachas. Yaakov said, is that the reason why he was called Yaakov? Yaakoveni zeh pamayim. So Yaakov means the heel, but it also can mean like he grabbed my foot. He tricked me. He tricked me twice. As per chasi lakach, he stole my bechayra. Bina atlakach ber chasi. Now he also stole my brachas. And he said, altali bracha. Did you leave any bracha for me? So he said, okay, stole my brachas, but anything left over for me? Okay, let's stop there for a second. So Yitzchak said, your brother came b'mirma with trickery. Vayikach berchasi, and he berchasach, and he took your brachas. So, unbelievable. So, the Mizanayim L'Torah, Rav Sirotskin, Rav Zalman Sirotskin says, Barachi Chamirma. Shemati b'shoyin b'shem ha-tzadik. Ha-goyin ha-tzadik of Yitzchak Zonneveld. I heard in the name of Yitzchak Zonneveld. Shebe Mirma, the word Mirma trickery, gematria afikaymin. It's the gematria of afikaymin. B'shvil sh'ochs afikaymin, since he ate afikaymin, he afshalecha mitzedah, barachi barachi gemur. He can't give him, he can't eat anything else. He says, what was the trickery? The trickery was that he served him the afikaymin. We know in the beginning of the story, it says they slaughtered two lambs. And Rashi explains, Yaakov slaughtered two lambs following his mother's request and his mother's advice. And Rashi says, because one was for the Karban Chagiga, the Karban for the celebration of the holiday of Pesach. It was a night of Pesach. And the second sheep was the Karban Pesach. So basically, he told him, your brother came with trickery. In other words, he gave me to eat the Karban Pesach. And we know that there's halacha, after somebody eats the Karban Pesach, after the Afikomen, you're not allowed to eat anything else. So he says, your brother tricked me with the Afikomen. It's gematria Afikomen. Its numerical value is Afikomen. The word mirma, or trickery, is numerical value Afikomen. Because he tricked them with the Afikomen. He tricked him with the Afikomen, and now he is not going to be able to eat anything else. And we know that Yitzchak felt these brachas, for some reason, required that you should eat something. Because right in the beginning, Yitzchak said, go to the field and hunt for me. So we see that these are brachas that require eating. Says Yitzchak, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give it to you bracha, because be able to give you a bracha, because I can't eat anything else. Because Yitzchak served me the afikomen, and that was part of the trick. Now I won't be able to eat anything else, and now I won't be able to give you a bracha. Okay, this is fascinating. Let's talk about this for 1 minute, what it means. Okay, so what it means, you can't eat after the afikomen. It seems like this concept of the Jewish people not eating after the afikomen, what's this law? It is what solidified the bracha and left Esav out of the picture of the Jewish people. What cut off Esav and what solidified Yaakov as the continuation of the bracha was the not eating after the afikomen. So maybe we could understand this a little bit. What this means, the law about not eating after the afikomen. So there's halacha, you're not supposed to eat after the afikomen, which is a little bit of, it seems like the halacha is, in order that you should have the taste in your mouth. You should not, like, you know, take away the taste of the afikomen. You should not eat after the afikomen. There are some questions about this. I mean, the question is, we drink two kosos of wine after the afikomen. Now, the halacha is you're allowed to drink water, because water doesn't have any taste. You're allowed to drink water after the afikomen. But are you not allowed to eat something else? So, the funny thing is that, you know, we drink two cups of wine. So, it seems like wine's not a problem. Wine is a problem, but it seems like those cases are brachas, and therefore, it's not a problem. Those are mitzvahs. Those cups are mitzvahs. And the mitzvah seems like doesn't dilute the taste of afikomen in your mouth. So let's go ahead and talk about this for a minute. I mean, simply explanations. Let's say somebody had something that tasted really good. So he doesn't want to eat something bad. Or he wants to keep the taste in his mouth. You know? Even after somebody eats it, he still has the aftertaste, you know? A little bit. So he wants to keep the taste in his mouth. So he won't eat something, you know, to dilute that taste. But it's a little funny, you know. Here it seems to be something a little deeper, because we let you drink wine, for mitzvahs, but we don't want you to have anything else. Now, let's talk about this for a second also. It says in the Haggadah, it says that the Chacham asks in the Haggadah, Ma Eidos V'Achukim Hashpatim, and we answer the Chacham, Hashem Tekzera Mitzrayim, and says, you teach him the laws of Pesach, till Eimav Tir Nacha Pesach Afikomen. You can't eat anything after the Afikomen. So when the simple explanation that God tells us, you teach your son, the Chacham, the Tzaddik, the Chacham, all about Pesach, the wise son, about Pesach, you tell them all the laws, and it ends off with the law of you do not eat anything after the Afikomen. Now, simple explanation, I guess, could be, it's the last law in Hilchos Pesach. I mean, you know, all the laws of the Seder, and the end of the Seder is don't eat anything after the Afikomen. But it seems like there's some sort of significance that the punchline of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim almost, tell them everything, till the punchline of, we do not eat anything after the Afikomen. Okay, so we have this fascinating thing over here, is that the Afikomen was the trickery that Yaakov used to make sure that Yitzchak would not be able to eat, in order to solidify the brachos by Yaakov. And this also takes place in our minhag, in our custom, not to eat anything after the Afikomen.
Well, it's not really a custom, it really is a halacha. And this halacha that we do not eat anything after the Afikomen.
I want to expand about this for a little minute. It seems like the Karban Pesach itself was called Mikol. I ate from everything. So let's talk about the Karban Pesach for a second. Yitzhak said, I ate from everything. And that was referring to the Karban Pesach. And then later on he says, your brother came with trickery because now I can't eat anything else and therefore I can't give you a bracha. So let's talk about the Karban Pesach for a second. Then we'll maybe be able to understand why we don't eat anything after the Karban Pesach. So the Karban Pesach, I heard once from Michal Tversky explained it. He said the Jewish people, you know, became a nation with the taking of the Karban Pesach. We find that the Karban Pesach is very significant. There are only two mitzvahs in the Torah that a positive commandment, if you don't do there are some negative commandments that have the punishment of kares have been cut off from the Jewish nation. But as far as a positive commandment, there's only two positive commandments that are so important that if someone doesn't do it, they're considered cut off from the Jewish nation. And that is the Karban Pesach, and that's Bris Milah. So these two mitzvahs are so significant that without that, a person's cut off from the Jewish people. They are punished with kares. So he explained that we know by the Karban Pesach, the world around them, the Mitzrayim, the culture around them, they idolized the sheep. And when the Jewish people, they served the sheep, when the Jewish people separated the sheep and they slaughtered it as a Karban Pesach, they were saying, that which is idolized in the culture around us, we are able to separate from it. We are able to overcome it. We are able to destroy it. We are able to cut ourselves away from it. So let's just think of like a modern day example. What the society around them lives with it, is engrossed in it, we could go ahead and say we are able to do without it. You know, nowadays, you know, I mean, things like Facebook could be used for different purposes, but this is like the concept. Like, we could go ahead and take what the culture around us is involved in, and we could say we don't need that. That doesn't control us. And that is the message of the Karban Pesach. The immoralities of the world around us, we are not caught up in that. We don't need that. And we could destroy that. So that is the message of the Karban Pesach. So it comes out, many people think, you know, you have a tzaddik, a talmid chacham, who sits and learns day and night, and they're not engrossed in worldly affairs, and they don't have, you know, basic, you know, desires, and enjoyments and pleasures. So you think they're like suppressing themselves, and they're getting used to suppressing themselves. But really, that's a mistake. It's not just that the Jewish people cut themselves off with the Karban Pesach, but as it's like said, the Karban Pesach was called kol, mikol, from everything. In other words, with becoming a Jew, they had all the enjoyments and pleasures and tastes of everything in the past and in the future was contained in this Karban Pesach. So I think the mashal is, you know, it's not that they suppressed themselves. They did suppress themselves. They did cut themselves off. But what they got in return was something that was fulfilling in a way that they were completely filled up with it, and they didn't need whatever the world around them was engrossed in. Let's go ahead and give a beautiful mashal to this message. Let's go ahead and give an example, okay? Let's say you have somebody, you go to somebody's house, and, you know, someone goes to his friend's house, and he says, okay, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, your medicine cabinet is so empty. He looks around the bathroom, he's like, you guys have a nebulizer? He said, no, nebulizer? No, we don't have one. He said, you have a wheelchair? No, we don't have a wheelchair. A walker? You don't have a walker. So what he's saying is, he's saying, yeah, you know why I don't have all those things? His friend's like, so how do you guys survive? He's like, I don't need that. I don't need an nebulizer. I don't need a wheelchair. I don't need a walker. I don't need that stuff. So the same thing over here. A person could walk into the house. He's like, wait 1 second. You don't watch television. You don't, you know, spend your day on Facebook. How do you survive? And the response is, well, what I do fills me up. That I don't need that. I don't need those distractions. So this is a very strong message over here. So the message over here of Karban Pesach is that when we, this is a very strong message over here. When we tap into Torah, tap into being a Jew, it's not that we suppress ourselves. We do cut ourselves off. We do suppress ourselves. However, in what is contained in the Torah, lifestyle is mikol, has everything. And we do not need this stuff. No, I'm surviving just fine. Without a ventilator, without a nebulizer, without a wheelchair. That's what we're saying. Yes, people need those things. But the Torah doesn't suppress us. The Torah gives us that we don't need that stuff. We have everything here. Okay, maybe if someone has a life, they don't have to travel so much. You know? They're not always looking to run away. Their life itself is stimulating. Okay? Perhaps. Now there's a time and place for everything, but this is the message over here. The message is, Ba'kol, in here contained everything. So it comes out that in the Karban Pesach, he says that Ephraim, everything, that's referring to the Karban Pesach. And perhaps this is the message of the halacha of we do not eat anything after the Karban Pesach. Because we're saying, listen, we had the Karban Pesach. That was nice. But I'm still hungry for something else. I still want something else. That is saying that the Karban Pesach doesn't completely fill me up. I need other stuff. But when we say Eim Avtirach Pesach Afikomen, we don't need anything else after Afikomen. We're not hungry. We don't need anything. This is the message that we're sending the night of Pesach, that this becoming a nation and becoming a Yid is something that even though we're separating ourselves and we're becoming a nation, that we separate ourselves from the ideologies of the non-Jews around us, but it's Mikol. It is fills us up and we don't need the other things. And we don't eat anything else after the Afikomen. This fills us up. Yes, it's true. Other people need it because they don't have what we have. Therefore, they need these other things. But this is a high madrega. You have to work on this part. You have to work on this concept. But I think there's tremendous truth to this. And you have to know exactly how to apply it. A person does need some downtime. But you have to understand that this is, let's just put it in the sense of a marriage. A person has a very strong marriage and a very very strong marriage. He is not going to be looking, very fulfilling relationship. He's not going to be looking for other things, other stimulants, other relationships that people who don't have a strong marriage, don't have a strong relationship, are looking for. So this is the concept. It's not that he's suppressing himself. It finds fulfillment in his relationships. He doesn't need other things. This is the message over here. We accepted the Torah. We became a nation then at Pesach. It was Bakol. It was with everything. It was Mikol. It was from everything. We have everything with us. We don't need to eat anything else after the Afikomen. And that's what we tell the son, the smart son, the night of Pesach. We tell him all the laws of Pesach. We tell him about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We tell him about the relationship that we have with Hashem. And it ends with, and we don't need anything else. We have everything here. So it comes out, this midah that we have, that this Afikomen is what solidified Yaakov, that the brachas went just to Yaakov. Since we don't eat anything after the Afikomen, therefore, Hashem was able to make a complete relationship with us, and he didn't need anything else. And that's how Esav didn't get the brachas. We have to talk about a little bit what brachas he did get. But Yaakov was solidified with the brachas, with this Afikomen. Fascinating. With this Afikomen, and with the Afikomen being kol, being everything. So it comes out, we have a little bit more insight in the law of Afikomen, don't need anything after Afikomen. A little more insight in why the Afikomen, this is what makes the bracha solidified to the Jewish people. And also we can understand a little bit what we say in benching every day. Hashem blessed our forefather with Bakol, Mikol, Kol, with everything. And the pasuk it brings for Yitzhak is he ate from all the food, which is referring to Karban Pesach. We have a new interpretation. This food was very blessed food. It had all the tastes in the world. And this is the message for us, that the Torah and the mitzvahs and becoming a Jew has in it all the pleasures in the world. And it is bakoil. It is everything. It's not good, but we need more. It fills up us completely. And we could separate ourselves from what the nations of the world idolized through our fulfillment through the Torah. Shkoach. If you'd like to sponsor a shir, or you could have any questions or comments, you can email me, rabbifrancis@nlkolel.org. Rabbi Francis, FRANCIS@nlkolel.org. I hope you enjoyed listening.